The following sermon was preached at Soma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Peace be with you. Al, I hope you said it also with you. If you're a regular tender, I want to try that one more time. Even though we're virtual, guys, I want us to continue the traditions we do because the church isn't the house that I'm in right now. And as you can see, I'm in the house. But the church isn't that house. The church is you and I. And so I want us to connect virtually in this way. So peace be with you. Ah, good. I'm so glad to hear that. For those of you who don't know, my name is Pastor John, and I'm the pastor of Soma, and I'm super grateful to have everyone join us online for our first ever online service. Can I be honest? This is weird. I don't really know what to do with all of it, but I know that God is doing something. And so I was on the phone with some of our government officials this week. I've been on more Zoom calls than I care to admit, to be very honest with you. And we want to encourage so many things as far as being good neighbors and the importance of faith communities in our community in stopping really the spread of the coronavirus. I just want to encourage you to keep your social distance from each other, but at the same time, love your neighbors and around there. We never want to have isolation, particularly not isolation with our single adults, but isolation as a whole. I know a lot of parents are now homeschooling for the first time and never thought they'd be in this solution. And so we want you to know that during this time, even in this worship service, I want to encourage you and hope that you guys feel free to clap along with us, that you feel free to laugh, you feel free to cry, you feel free to react in whatever emotions that your heart are part of. I want you to be a part of that with us. And so I want to pray for us today, kind of get started. But before I do that, I want you to grab your Bibles and open to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. We're going to start in verse 6, but I wanted to go all the way through 7 and 8. Here we go. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 6. If you have one of our black pew Bibles, it's on page 1017 as a little hint for you. The word says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that in the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Let's pray. Our good and gracious Father, would you meet us wherever we are? Would you speak to our hearts? Would you challenge us and would you confront us this morning? God, our Father, you promised to meet us in the moments, and Lord, I pray in moments like this that you be here with us. With so many things that our hearts are dealing with, our minds are dealing with, I pray that we're not looking backwards and being afraid, but that we're looking forward towards you. Meet us here in this moment. God, encourage us. Father God, I ask that you let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh God, my strength and my redeemer in whom we all trust. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone who agrees with that would say, amen, amen. I got to admit that this is just a weird week. I want to ask you guys a question. What do you do when there's nothing that you can do and you find yourself in a circumstance or a situation, in this case, a national and international pandemic, if you may, where there's nothing you can do to fix or solve it? What do you do when there's nothing you can do to fix or solve the problem you're in? There are things of the heart and officials that are encouraging us to do all kinds of things, to wash our hands, to be a good neighbor, to stay home if we're not feeling well. But what do you do as a Christian when there's absolutely nothing that you can do? I felt this strain this week. Some of you, maybe you aren't as affected as many of us are in this corona outbreak. Maybe for you, financially, is the way that the situation is unplanned. And you search for a thought and different options are in front of you, but there's nothing. Maybe it has nothing to do with this current time, but maybe it's an older time, a relational time, where you tried 100 different options of all the things, but you can't work it out. Or for other people, maybe it's your career or other things. But all of us have life situations, things that we find ourselves in, that we just have no idea what we can do or how we can change or even fix it. It's frustrating. One of the things that I found to be true in my life is this quote from this lady named Barbara Brown Taylor. She says this. She says, "We do not lose control of our lives. What we lose is the illusion that we're ever controlled in the first place." And I think that's where we are right now. Sometimes, like life situations over the coronavirus or other things, remove this illusion from our lives that we are actually in control. There's so many times I think, man, I got this, but I don't. I don't. There's three words that really kind of sum up the responses that I've heard this week and that I've even used this week. The first one is this, is overwhelmed. Pastor John, I'm overwhelmed. And I've used that. Some of you guys have received texts from me saying, man, I'm overwhelmed. You just have a lot to process. There's so many things going on. You feel overwhelmed at the end of the day. Can I be honest with you? Just between us. I mean, it's just you, me, a camera, and a few other things, right? But just between us. It happened when the MLS got canceled for me. That's when I got overwhelmed. I know it seems goofy. Some of y'all are like, what about the NBA? Man, forget that. I love soccer. And when soccer got canceled, I was like, what do we do? The English Premier League? I didn't know what to do. I was getting ready to coach my son's soccer team. I was so excited. It's all gone. But the second word is this. In that moment, I felt helpless. That's we're trapped by a situation. We can't do anything to change despite our best efforts. You just feel helpless. As a matter of fact, the third one is really powerful. And so many of us are fearing right now. We're feeling it right now. It's fear. Now, I'd be lying if I say this wasn't the one that speaks to me the most. Not out of fear for me, really. I mean, I'm relatively healthy in my 40s now. Yes, I'm in my 40s. I'm admitting that publicly. It's not that. But actually, I fear more for my father. And I fear more for my in-laws and my grandmothers, which are my wife's grandmothers. But they're my grandmothers. It's been 15 years. They belong to a population, and I'm not calling you old, Brian, Diane, and Dad. I'm not calling you old, I promise you. But they belong to a population where the virus potentially affects them more than it would affect myself or their grandchildren. So what do you do when you're overwhelmed, when you're helpless, or when you're afraid? Here's where we normally start. We normally start with worry. Is that true? That's a good place for an amen. If you're online and trying to figure out places to say amen, here it is. You usually start with worry. There, good, good. Because listen, I got a PhD in worrying. I don't have a PhD in anything else, but I got a PhD in worrying. I am the best when it comes to worrying. Honestly, I'm probably the least qualified person on this planet to talk about how not to worry because it's something I do so often. My wife will tell you, if you talk to her, she'll tell you, I come with the end around the craziest scenarios in my head. I have a wild imagination, to be very honest, and all of it somehow ends up with everybody dying. I don't know how. I'm sure I need counseling, but this is just reality. This is where I go. And I really need Jesus to shepherd me through all of what I'm feeling. When I'm overwhelmed or when I'm helpless or when I'm fearful, I tend to go to worry. Now, fortunately, Jesus has a lot to say about that. Jesus spends a lot of time. It's such an important topic that Jesus spent a major section of his most important sermon, the most famous sermon he ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. You probably heard of it. He spent the most time talking about the concept of worry and how we respond in those situations. Follow with me. Turn to Matthew 5. We're going to come back to 1 Peter, but turn to Matthew 5 real quick. I got it here in my Bible. I want to read it for you. Because in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us four reasons why you should never, everybody say never, never, why you should never worry for one more second for the rest of your life about anything. Jesus says, first and foremost, this. He says, worry is unreasonable and illogical. It doesn't make sense. Matter of fact, here, I know you don't believe me, so I'm going to turn Matthew 6:25. I'm going to put it right here. I've got God's word in my hand so you can see it and hear it. It says this. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life more than food and body more than clothing? What a great question. Jesus, first and foremost, says worry is illogical. It's unreasonable. And here's why it's unreasonable. Because first, and if you're taking notes, this is where you kind of can write stuff down. It says this. Worry always exacerbates the problem. It exaggerates the problem. Never in the history of my life, and never in the history of your life, have you ever started to worry about a problem. And when you're done worrying, it felt smaller to you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go out on a limb and say every time you've worried, just like my worry, it's gotten larger. It's become a larger problem. You see, part of this is a psychological phenomenon I heard from a guy up in New York called writing the script. And once you start to worry about a situation, what happens is you lose control. And so in order to gain control, you write a script of what might happen, and you write it so well that you start believing that it will happen, and then eventually you even try to force it to happen. I do this all the time. I get into a scenario and I go, oh my goodness. And here's the thing. I write the script and I run down this path and I try to make it all right. But listen, you and I are not in control of our lives. We're not in control of our lives. So we don't know how things are going to go. But I do know one thing is for sure, that it's not going to go like you think. It's not going to go like you think. And worrying about the situation is always going to exaggerate it and make it. And that's what makes it unreasonable. But the second thing that Jesus says about worrying is this. It's unnatural. It's unnatural, which some of you guys are like, Pastor John, listen, it's very natural. And I hear you. I'm with you. In my mind, I'm like, yeah, I worry really, really well. But that's not what's going on. It's unnatural. Worrying is not natural to you. And that's why it feels like it adds stress onto you. Have you ever felt that way? It adds stress and chaos. It aches your body. It literally hurts. It's unnatural because we're the only creature in all of God's creation that actually worry. We worry. The rest of God's creation kind of is like, yeah, we're good. But we worry. This is something that is unnatural. Matthew 6:26 goes on. Jesus actually picks up what he says. Pick it up with me. Matthew 6:26. 5:26. Or he says this. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? What a great question. Are you not more valuable than they? He's saying that in all of God's creation, in the entire universe, only human beings worry. Plants don't worry. Animals don't worry. We worry. But yet, we're the only ones that are made in God's image, and that's one of the reasons why we probably do it. Now, one of the bigger reasons... that we're worried is that we feel like we have no control. And I want to talk about it because it's unnatural. It's also unhealthy. It affects us negatively. It's not just personally our own mental health, but it's also our emotional health and bringing chaos and stress and anxiety that harms us and the relationships that surround us. You see, the word worry actually comes from an old English word, which means to strangle or to choke. That's where it comes from. And Jesus is saying every time you choose to worry, you're strangling, you're choking the life out of your life. Matter of fact, I'm going to turn over to Proverbs 12 and 25. It says this, Proverbs 12 and 25 says it well. It says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. So true just to hear that right there. The third thing, it's unhelpful. It's unhelpful. Jesus says in Matthew 5 and 27, you turn back to 5 and 27 for me. I want you to read this with me. He says in Matthew 5 and 27 this. He says, have you heard that it was said, you should not commit adultery? Excuse me, 6 and 27. I am so sorry. 6 and 27. He said, in which you being anxious can add a single moment to the span of his life. Which of you being anxious can add a moment to the span of his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Think about all the hours that you live and think about all the things you do in these hours. And Jesus says, worrying can't add a single hour to your life. Lord, if I had an hour for every hour that I worried, I would live forever. But Jesus says, you can't do it. Now, there are things in life that we can do. And if there's something that you can do about the situation, please do it. Listen, if some of y'all are scientists and you're holding back on like your discoveries and figuring out this coronavirus, get off this podcast, get off of this live stream right now and go solve it. But for the rest of us, we can't. I wish I could, but I can't. If you can't, replacing the lack of ability to do something with worry is nonsensical because worry is unhelpful. Jesus gives us a very clear language about that worry adds absolutely nothing to any situation. Now, when you're worrying about something, it feels good because you feel like you're contributing something, right? You feel like you're accomplishing something. But in reality, it's just like drinking salt water. It makes you thirstier. That's all it really does. It's unhelpful. None of us can add even an hour to our life by doing it.
Now, the last thing Jesus gives us is a reason why we should never worry about anything. And that worry is, it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. God says, in this world, stop being worried about it. Don't be afraid. I got you. I made you. I created you. I have this conversation with my children all the time where there's like, hey, daddy, are you going to feed me? And I'm like, yeah, I fed you yesterday, didn't I? I fed you today, didn't I? I'm going to feed you again. I made you. I created you. I'm taking care of you. I'm not going to leave nor forsake you, is what the Bible says. Matter of fact, in Matthew 6 and 30, we're going to keep this pace right here. Matthew 6 and 30, it says these words. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? O you of little faith. It's funny because when I hear those words, I hear God going, hey, John, oh, John of little faith. I don't hear, oh, you of little faith. I hear him talking to me. And it breaks my heart because he'll take care of me. Won't he do it? Won't he take care of you? Because worry is so unnecessary, like completely. But what Jesus is getting at is less about what we're worrying about and more about the struggle that we can trust who he is. A sign that something is wrong eternally in our formation is when we hit circumstances that are really, really challenging, but with no way in and no way out. What we do is we worry about it and try to make it under our control. But what really exposes is that in our lives we've been off this whole time. In our lives we haven't had it right. Here's one of the most profound things about people that's true. And maybe that'll happen with you if you think about it for long enough. But when you hit situations, certainly not in all situations, when you hit situations, I find these times where I could worry, but I'm forced to run back to Jesus as a gift. I know some of you guys are going, okay, Pastor John, I know you're holy and everything, but like thinking of the coronavirus as a gift is kind of out there. And it is. But I want you to begin to think of it that way. It's a gift. It's not that I'm not stressed. It's not that I'm not anxious. It's that God is exposing the lack of trust I have in him and drawing me closer to him. The lack of trust in God, his care for me. And all along the situation is digging all of this up in me. It's digging up all my sins. It's exposing me. So if worrying is such a terrible idea, then what should we do? What should we do? And this is where I want you to flip in your Bible back to 1 Peter chapter 5. Keep your finger there, get back to it, because the scripture gives us the answer. We read it earlier. It gives us a reason to go about life in a much better way than worrying. Something called, I don't know, prayer. It's called prayer, and I want you to be praying today. As a matter of fact, jump in the chat right now and put down ways we can pray for you, or click the link that's in the chat right now and let us know how our church can be praying for you. Because one of the things I found in my own life, that it takes a whole lot more willpower to stop worrying. Maybe you're a lot holier than me and it doesn't take you any willpower, but for me, it takes a lot to stop worrying. Worrying is not about something that we can just stop doing and need to replace with something else. We have to replace it with something healthier, a healthier way of dealing with our feelings and with our emotions. Because here's the thing that I know that's true about a lot of us is that we encounter negative emotions like fear or being helpless or being overwhelmed, and we don't know what to do. A lot of times we try to push those things down and we don't have too much effort with the negative emotions. We try to push them down and pretend they just don't exist. We're like, oh yeah, everything's fine. We'll do anything but deal with what's going on internally. We'll do anything but to look at it and actually go, okay, God, what is actually going on? And that's never going to be a good recipe for success. Just like in any pool, if you take a beach ball and you push it down in the water, eventually it's going to pop up somewhere else or in your face, but it's going to pop up. And you see, God is saying, stop pushing it down. No, 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 no. In your life, feelings are an amazing indicator of what's going on. It's a great indicator. But I've talked over and over and over and over again that feelings are a terrible guide. They're a terrible guide, and they should never be what you let guide you in your life. But they are an indicator, kind of like on my dashboard, my check engine indicator to let me know I need to go get my oil change. Feelings are an indicator of what's going on right now and what's going on beneath the surface of your life. And we don't want to bury these emotions, but what we should do with them is go with them to God in prayer. You see, in 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to read it again. The Apostle Peter says these words, and I challenge you this word, this week, I want to challenge you to memorize this and to recite it over and over and over again. He says this: humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that in the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. If you want to know how to replace all this worry, the first thing you need to do is this. Cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Cast your anxiety on God because he cares for you. And I want to say it again. I want you to cast your anxiety on God because he cares for you. Now, a little bit of context here. Peter wrote this to a group of Christians that were being murdered. The Roman Emperor Nero was literally killing them. He was burning them alive. He was throwing them to lions. He was putting them in the Colosseum and having them eaten alive as sport. He was killing them. And he said, hey, by the way, I want you to know that God cares for you. But my friend got ate last week. God cares for you. But my mama died. God cares for you. But my daddy is burning at the stake. He wrote to them and said, God cares for you. And in the midst of all that's happening to them, he had the nerve. Peter had the nerve to tell them to cast their anxieties on God. If it's suitable for that group of people, it's suitable for me. It is suitable for them to hear, cast your anxieties to God. It's suitable for me. What Peter is saying to us today in the Greek translation of the text literally says that all anxiety that you have, cast it on him because he cares for you in the way that the original readers would have heard this, in all the anxiety, they would have cast it on him because he cares for you. So all the anxiety that you have, I mentioned a little while ago that you should never pretend or ignore your emotions. We should take all that emotion, take all the anxiety that we have, and instead of trying to suppress it, we should just cast it and bring it to God. The best way is to release it is through prayer. Pray. Talk to God. In the past week, I've got a lot of challenges with anxiety and thinking, Lord, how do I lead a church through a national pandemic? I've never done it before, so hey, first time for everything, right? I have had so much anxiety, and I was calling friends and trying to get advice and texting friends and on Zoom call after Zoom call after Zoom call, talking to people going, hey, help a brother out. What is going on? What are we doing? And finally, I went up to my wife and I said, I got 15 ideas. And she said, hey, go pray. Go talk to God about it. Now, that's usually what the pastor should be doing, but my wife sometimes does that role for me where she's like, get back to Jesus, and she pointed there. I spent some time downstairs just in prayer because that was the first time this whole week, after everything's going on, that I had a semblance of release of all my anxiety. I went running, and while I was running in the rain, literally, I had a release from God of anxiety. Not pretending that they don't exist, not pretending that my feelings aren't there. No, 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 no. But I brought it to God, and in those moments, I say, God, this is your church, and these are your people, and those are your students on Lincoln's campus that aren't there anymore, and those are your children, and that is your wife, as long as while with me, and those are your my parents are yours, and my in-laws are yours, and I don't know what to do, and you promised to lead me, so you promised to take all my anxiety, so I just cast them on him. Have you done that? I don't know exactly what happens in that moment, but I can tell you I felt lighter. I ran a little bit faster. I feel like I was taking weight off my shoulders and putting it on God. I was acknowledging that, God, I'm not capable of doing all of this by myself. I can't change the situation, so you know what you have to do. You have to do something about it, and until you do something about it, nothing will get done. And the first thing that Peter says is that anxiety, you have to throw it on him. You have to cast it on him. The second thing Peter says is this, which is really important, that we cast our anxiety on God, not on other people. not on other people. We have to find the right audience to cast our anxiety on for two reasons. One, other people don't have enough inside themselves to bear the weight of our anxiety. So many of us either want to take on everybody's anxieties or cast off our anxieties on other people and hope they can carry it, and they can't. They just can't. Most of us, we have friends and loved ones that can be great listening ears, but there's a point where they're going to break and go, I can't take anymore. And if we don't spend time truly casting our anxieties to God and taking all of our anxieties and casting them to God, we're going to end up bleeding on people who didn't cut us. Sounds weird. Here, let me help you understand what I mean. When I was younger, I had an anger problem. I'll put it that way. I was at K-State, greatest school on earth. And while I was at K-State and I was spending time there, I got this DVD. This will date me a little bit. But I got this DVD called The Matrix. The Matrix was an amazing DVD. And I got this DVD and I put it in and it was mind-blowing. For those of you who've never seen The Matrix, repent, go watch it now after we're done. But go watch it. So I was watching The Matrix and I took the case back when the cases were new back to Blockbuster. Y'all remember Blockbuster? Threw it on my thing. And I forgot about it. And I didn't watch many DVDs back in the day because not everybody had a DVD player and I forgot about it. But what I didn't know is because that DVD was so light, I didn't realize I'd never put it back in the case and took it to Blockbuster. Now, if you knew Blockbuster from back then, they threw everything on your credit report and did everything they could to destroy your life. And so I started getting calls from these credit and these debt collectors while I was in college. And I remember snapping on them. I remember going off on one. Just like, yo, this is what you do with your life? This is the kind of person you think you are? You're destroying my credit over a Matrix DVD? I took the DVD back to Blockbuster. They said, nah, you bought it. I snapped on the counter person. I went off on them. And here's the thing. It was my mistake. I had made an honest mistake, and I had gone to rectify it. But that person that was behind the counter, probably a 16-year-old kid, who I bit their head off, had nothing to do with it. What happened is all the hurt and pain, anxiety that I felt from being thrown under the bus by Blockbuster, which thankfully is not around anymore, came out on the 16-year-old kid behind the counter who had nothing to do with anything. I bled all over him. I ended up verbally vomiting and bleeding all over this child who had nothing to do with it. And I, as a grown man, should have known better. I ended up bleeding on someone who didn't cut me. Who didn't cut me, a little person had nothing to do with it, and my night was ruined and their night was ruined because of this. Listen to me, saints. God is the only person who can take the totality of your anger and your frustration and your anxiety right now. Give it to him. He's a big boy. You think he doesn't know what you're thinking? You think he doesn't know the feelings you're feeling right now? You think he's not sitting here? So many times, I find it funny, like, the way we pray to God, we pray to him like he can't handle our anxiety. We talk to him, we're just like, Holy Father, bro, talk to him. Talk to God. He needs to hear from you. He can handle the real you, and he wants to hear from the real you. God made you to have anger. He made you to have sadness. He made you to have all of these things, these frustrations. Every single aspect of who you are and the feelings you feel, God put within you. But sometimes, instead of expressing those things to God, we limit ourselves like he's scared of it. No, no, no. We want you not to sanitize your prayers, but let them go. God wants to hear from you right now. So you need to bleed on the right person, and that's the one who bled for you. But the number three thing you need to hear from Peter in this passage is this. Don't continue to weigh yourself down with more. Now, the word cast, when I said cast your anxiety on God, in the Greek, to take something means to throw it as far as you think you can. If you like to would go fishing, I used to go fishing when I was a kid, you would take your cast, you'd get a weight, and you'd go, you'd throw it as far as you can. Some of y'all get that example, but throw it as far as you possibly can. And what I hope that you guys do this week is you truly commit to put good boundaries, and make sure that you're not weighing yourself down with more anxiety, whatever source it may be. Listen, I'm going to be real with y'all. Some of y'all need to turn off the TV and stop looking at Fox News and CNN. Some of y'all need to log off the internet for a little bit. Get off of Facebook. I know you logged in with great intentions. You wanted to type up and encourage everybody. Some of y'all need to log off. It's just adding anxiety. Some of us just need to look at a few memes and laugh a little bit. Memes are a ministry in our church, so we want you to laugh alongside us. Some of you guys need to unfollow a whole bunch of people on your Snap, on your Instagram. Some of the things that you're seeing and putting inside your body are not helpful for you. The only thing you don't need to unfollow is Soma. You need to follow us and make sure you keep up to date with what we're doing. But listen, some of you guys are on a text thread. I got a text this afternoon that told me about a text thread that's going through that's on WhatsApp. Maybe you need to get off that text thread. But listen, if there's a source of your anxiety that's good for, that's not good for yourself right now, you need to limit it. Create healthy boundaries around you. Now, parents, listen, that does not mean you can send your kids to bed for the whole day. That's not what we can do. I know that some of us want to do that right now because we're wondering if our kids actually act like this at school. The answer is yes, apparently, but you can't get rid of them. So just love them well. We're going to navigate through that. But for the rest of us, we need to find things that would reduce the impact on our lives and begin to create healthy boundaries that honor God. And the last thing is this, which is more important than anything else that we need to remember as a Christian, is this. God cares for us. God cares for us. God doesn't just care about you. He cares for you. Let me hear that. God cares for you. My prayer is that we would take these words to heart, that God cares for us now. In moments like this, sometimes we just need to recognize that we are or we're just misunderstood as God is not just distant or uninterested or uncaring for us. If we would have ever been suspicious, we'd follow Jesus closely and find out that he actually does care about us. He loves us. He's walking with us. Matter of fact, the disciples had something just like this in Matthew, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, Jesus is trying to get away from the crowd. He jumps in a boat. Disciples jump in the boat with him. They're heading across this big lake. They call it the sea, but it's a big lake. They're going. Boom. Everybody's there. Jesus is like, listen, I'm tired. If you ever preach before, you know you're tired. I'm going to lay down and take a nap. So he takes the nap. Song logs. Storm comes up. Blowing everywhere. You can imagine storms coming out of nowhere, hitting the waves, hitting everything. The disciples are flipping out. They're like, we're going to die. Disciples go downstairs. Jesus, hey, bro, we're going to die. Don't you care? Don't you care that we're about to die? Everything is going to hell in a handbasket. Don't you care? And in Mark 4 and 34, they say to the teacher, don't you care we're going to die? The first question that they ask him, we're going to die, bro. Don't you really care? Jesus stood up and said the same thing that I heard a little bit earlier. He said again, oh, you little faith. As soon as he got up, the storm settled down. He's calling us to walk by faith, not by sight. He's calling us to trust him. In his words, in the way that he leads us, and we take God's word to heart, and God will care for you, and he cares for me in moments and sometimes that are difficult to believe that he's caring for you. He is caring for you. In a moment that ended today, I want to invite you where you can cast your cares on God because he cares for you. Listen, this is the God who gave Jesus, and without he didn't withhold his Jesus from us. He gave his very own son to die on the cross for you and me. God withheld nothing. He trusted us with everything. God gave us Jesus, and he didn't withhold anything from us. Will God hold with anything? Withhold anything we need if we trust him? No, he will not. Has God unequivocally earned our trust with the bark that ran down his back as he hung on the cross, or the thorns that were pressed into his head as he hung on the cross? Or maybe God earned your trust by your name on his cracked, vanquished lips as he died on the cross. Listen, if saints, if you know what I'm talking about, then this is the God that died for you. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, listen, I ask that you receive him now. How will he not graciously give us all the things that he deems best and right? He's already given us the incomprehensible. And wherever you are, I invite you to spend some time right now. Right now. Don't wait. Casting your cares, casting your anxieties, throwing them on God. Please take them right now and throw them on God. And if you're not a believer in Christ, if you're like, I tuned in because my friend sent me here. I don't really know that Jesus like you know him. Maybe I'll get to him later on in life. Don't wait. Listen, I'm not fear-mongering. I want to be honest with you. There's so much going on in this world right now, and tomorrow is not guaranteed. What is guaranteed is today. Right now. He died on a cross for me. He came from heaven to earth to give you a way to get to him. Don't wait. Don't wait any longer. This Jesus who died on the cross for you said, I'll take your anxieties. I'll take your burden. I'll take your load. Will you give it to him? Stop holding on to it. You can't. Listen, I ask you to admit that you don't have it and give it to Jesus right now. Matter of fact, I want to pray for you, and I want to pray what I call a sinner's prayer. And if you want to receive Christ right now, all I want you to do is just bow your head and close your eyes. There's nothing special about that. It just kind of helps you to focus and pray it along with me. And if you're a believer in Christ, I ask you to bow your head and close your eyes and pray with me that people right now would be receiving Christ and entering the kingdom of God. And maybe we can be doing some more baptisms when we find a way to do those next, because this God wants all your anxieties. And they have a way to have it right now. Pray with me, saints, for the new believers that are coming into the kingdom. If you want to pray this prayer, pray along with me. Dear God, I know I'm holding on to brokenness and sin and hurt in my life. Help me to release it. Help me to walk in your strength and mercy. Take my sin and give me your righteousness. And help me to walk into your kingdom forever as yours. You are my Lord, my Savior, and I give you all in my life. Use me for your glory and let me find joy in it, in your name. Amen. Listen to me. If you've just prayed that prayer with me, there are angels in heaven right now that are rejoicing over you, that want you to know that you are in the kingdom. Man, welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome to part of the family. We want you to be a part of that. And as we get together, as the government lifts all these bans and you're able to come back to church with us and let's celebrate what God has done in your life. Matter of fact, here's the easiest way you can do it. Click the link that's in in the boxes right now. Let us know that you've made a decision for Christ and let us follow up with you and get you some resources so you can begin your life with Christ. Let one of our pastors know right here and right now. But Father God, I ask that you bring more and more into the kingdom and this be a time for revival. Expose us for your glory. Jesus, use us as we leave this place and help us to celebrate alongside our friends so that we can see what you are doing. Father, I ask and I admit that I often forget that you are with me. I forget that you're like the only one in my life who can actually hold everything I have. I can hardly fathom the depth of your love for me. When I'm anxious, my heart feels suffocated with mounds of worry that this life can bring. Father God, I only know what I know. But I also know the God that knows every hair on my head and who flung the stars into the farthest reaches of space. I know that you plan every step that I make in my life. And so I just take my worry and I give it to you. My anxiousness and give it to you. And though it builds into mounds and is escalating, I know that you have always exceeded my expectations when I rest in you. So I relinquish my cares to your hand. The hand that created me, the hand that carries me, the hand that created the starry night, the hand that steadies me, I relinquish all of this to you. I place it deep into the hand that holds my future. And I ask that you give me the courage that I need, the courage to trust you wholly. And give me peace that calms all the fears of my life. For every saint that is watching right now, I just ask that you rest in him. And that God gives you that peace. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name, and all God's saints say, amen. Listen, saints, I pray this has been a blessing to you. I ask that God may richly bless you. I ask you click that Spotify link, sing some worship songs with your whole heart and mind with your family right now. Even if you're by yourself, turn up for Jesus. But do it knowing that he carries you and he will do it for all time. Can't wait to see you again next week. Connect with us online at somajc.org. May God richly bless you as you go make disciples that make disciples, even in the midst of the coronavirus. Take care, guys. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about SOMA, please visit us at www.somajc.org.